Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the In the Doll's House podcast, the parenting pod for parents by parents who aren't ready to be parents.
This week, Dean can't be with us as he's currently away, so Chris and I will discuss the life-changing event of going from one child to two with some extra detail.
We talk about the reaction of the eldest child to finding out they're getting a sibling and how they integrated with the newborn.
We also talk about how, as a father, we try to take care of ourselves and look into fitness programs.
So settle in, get comfortable, and have a listen to two grown men going for it in the Doll's House. So, Paul, a full week after your podcasting debut, have you had to sign many signatures in the street this week?
Yeah, I'm back by popular demand. So, thanks to everyone for the feedback. I think I had one like on our Instagram account from my wife, so that was nice.
Yeah. Talk about going virus. Yeah. Viral.
But yeah. But yeah, really enjoyed it. And it wasn't, I have listened back to last week, so it wasn't as painful listening to myself as I thought. But yeah, enjoyed it last week. So thanks for having me back, Chris.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, you've got a lovely voice. Soothing. So you should do audio books.
Yeah, I could look into that, couldn't I? I suppose.
We'll repace.
One step at a time. Could do the Peaky Blinders, audio recordings, maybe.
So how's the week been? So is your daughter off for the Easter break?
Yeah, so she's had 2 weeks off. She goes back tomorrow. So the first week, I took some time off work, which was really nice, a few days, and we did some activities. So we did Westmoreland Safari Park with the four of us. So it's really been our first sort of proper family trips together as a four.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like going back over the trips we've done as a three, now doing it as a four.
Yeah.
So like Westmoreland Safari Park's a really good one, for the children. And now eldest daughter's a bit older. We found that she could appreciate it even more, so seeing the animals, yeah, a lot more interaction from her. So we did that on the one day. That was really good. Both children loved it. We had a really good day, and there's loads there for both kids. We managed to get our eldest on a one of the like fairground rides. She's usually, yeah, quite sort of timid and shy with them,
right?
So I thought there's no way she's going on one of these rides, but she managed to. She actually said,
get on.
It was about 7 quid.
Oh God.
But she was like, no, Dad, no, I want to go on that one. And I'll be honest, I'm a bit of a wimp with rides.
Oh yeah,
even kids ones. And I was thinking, I don't want to go on that. Please pick your mom. So when we said, who do you want to go on that ride? She picked me, and I was like, oh, great. So I had to be brave as well. We both went on this ride, and to be fair, it went pretty high.
Yeah.
For my standards.
Go check her under that ruler. I think you're a bit too,
yeah,
short.
Yeah, that's
no,
it,
no,
yeah,
she's fine. No, check it again.
Please be too small. Yeah. Yeah. So there's me like clinging onto her as this ride goes up in the air. my hands are shaking, and she's like reassuring me.
Everything's all right, Dad, you're fine. Get me. God, is that skill squealing? No, it's Dad.
That's Dad, yeah. And then we went on the bumper cars, which was really good. But there was like only like us and like a couple of others, so there was no like, we just drove around in a circle.
Just cars then.
Into each other. It was the most polite
after
bumper
you
car that we've been on. After you, yeah. I think I give way about three times before people passed.
Yeah. Sure, right away, duck. Go on.
Yes, yeah.
You hit somebody, then you get like,
I indicated my fault, yeah.
You hit somebody, then you get like a letter through the post saying like, oh, you've been done. Whiplash. Yeah. 2 grand, that is.
Yeah. Got whiplash. Well, that's why I avoided everyone. I was petrified. But no, that was really good. Really enjoyed there. And then the couple of days after that, we went to Cadbury's World.
Oh yeah.
In Birmingham. And again, we've been there with the eldest a few times. But that's changed slightly as well. And we went with the some more of the family, went with the grandparents, and
right. So they could pay for everything.
They can pay for everything, yeah, which they did, which is fantastic. So yeah, that's always a bonus when you invite the grandparents, because you know you're going to get some help there, help with a bit of extra childcare, and also with some of the payment.
Yeah,
but no, really good day again. There's lots to do there, so fully recommend it. And how about you, Chris? Are you Yeah. Into half term now.
Or... Yeah, God, honestly, I'm going to go back to school for rest, to be honest with you. Bloody knackered. So, what did we do this week? So, we went to like a farm, local farm near us. We're in Hampshire, so we're obviously down south. Manor Farm it is. It's amazing. It's such a cool place. So, like, we took her in, and I don't know the pricing of it, but I think under three is getting for free. And, like, our daughter's 3.5. So, Rachel's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, well, under three.
Under three, yeah, under three. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2 adults and 1 under 3, please. Like, and I didn't hear that because I'd have gone, she's not, she's over the... £12 then, please. So we smuggled our daughter in for less than she... But yeah, it's so cool. So we've put it on the Instagram, like, and stuff like, they've got like a cool little interactive map where they can, it's got the cartoon animals, you press it and then it shows like a line that goes from where they are to where the animal will be. Yeah. So you go through. So you've got all your regulars, you've got like your rams and your goats and your sheep and massive, yeah, great big Shire horse. It was huge.
All the classics.
Oh, got all the classics, bought them all out. Nothing. Yeah. There was a sign that said Great Tit. I think that was the bird sanctuary that they've got around there. But then you've got like you know, like those John Deere tractors that they can thingies on. So she's not quite old enough to do it on her own. So I have to do it with her because obviously. Rach is heavily pregnant. She's pregnant.
I think heavily is fine. Yeah.
And so I push around, and it's like, honestly, so she's not steering. I can't push and look up at the same time because my back's knackered. So she just fell off. We like to put her into the pits, like changing the wheel. Just fell off. Bosh, I was like, you all right? Yeah, fine. So yeah, that's cool. And then we've got like an indoor play area, which is bloody carnage. So we've just got her in for under threes, and she went in the part of the park. It's signposted everywhere, it's 7 and over. So it was like, so what, you've got a receipt for that child there. You paid under threes, she's under 7 and over. So
yeah.
So she's dead adventure. She'll go up into it, and then because some of the bigger kids are kind of running around, she gets a bit nervous. So she got stuck at the you know, like those sort of tube spinny roundy like slides that kind of go around, yeah, like. So she's just by the entrance of that, and I'm like, go, you can go down it, you're fine, because I know if she doesn't, you're gonna see a 39 year old chap with a bad back and he's very out of shape. Well, rounds are shape in it. So to kind of go through, push all these little kids out the road, just like, yeah, move. I've got a daughter here crying. I'll just hit my mic.
It's like, yeah, it's like the equivalent of like, it's like a walk of shame, isn't it? When you excuse me, I'm coming here.
Yeah,
you're probably like, shouldn't. Just go down the slide.
Yeah, shouldn't be walking around with my stilettos over my shoulder. Well, yeah. But there's an episode of Peppa Pig.
My child crying.
There's an episode of Peppa Pig where all the adults go, we try and get the get stuck. So it's just like, but then we managed going a bit where I got up there eventually, and we managed to kind of go around. But yeah, it's so cool. But it's got a pasty, and yeah, it's a wicked day. And it's also a bit where it's like an old church there. I think it's St. Bartholomew's Church, it's called. And then you've got like a school. So I went in the church, and I like a bit of Most Haunted movie. We talked on this pod a few times. I like watching Most Haunted. So I'm in there like, if there's any spirits amongst us that want to have a talk to us, Rachel's like, get out, you dickhead. That was just my wife. Don't listen to her. She's a non-believer. But if there's anybody, nothing happened. But
I thought you might have said you'd gone into the church to pray for your sort of an easy life when your second child comes along.
Oh, yeah. Some divine intervention. I think it's a bit late for that, to be honest. It was the wide intervention that was the problem in the first place. It's a cracking joke now, but I don't drink wine, so it doesn't really work, but still. Then it's like no an old school. So, yeah, it's wicked. They have all, like, the shows. So you can get, like, Meet All The Eye, the pigs and stuff. Eden loved it. So yeah, we've done that. The rest is just kind of pottering around the house. We tried the garden's been destroyed by like these, I don't know what they are. They're like sort of slug things. So we've been trying to work. I say we, like Rachel's been in the garden. So yeah, busy week. We've got another week this week. So hopefully be another week of sort of doing bits and pieces around the house and whatnot. So yeah, it's like really busy.
So as I
said in the intro, then we're gonna have a little bit of a chat about. You know, going from one child to two child, because that's obviously where we're at in the moment. So there is going to be some bits that we may have covered already, but hopefully there's some new bits in there. So the biggest thing that we kind of had to get around in the first place is obviously letting our daughter that we've got at the moment know that she's going to have a sibling. So what was the process of you and your wife telling your daughter that you were expecting? You don't have to go into the gory details, do you? You know, minimum of when a mummy loves her daddy. Or daddy, you know. So how did you kind of break the news that she was going to be an older sister?
We did it, obviously with our second, we did it slot... It came about when we were due to tell both of our parents.
Right.
Which with our
I'm
first,
so glad you went there because I thought you were going to go and say something completely different with your second child. It was slightly different. We did it standing up.
I won't go into that. That's for the late night one, the late night version of this podcast.
Yeah, if you join our Patreon.
Yeah. But no, we, with our first, it was all a bit chaotic with telling like parents because... I know I'm going back slightly on your question, but we had to tell my wife's parents like immediately as soon as we found out because we were both due to go out because we obviously didn't have any children. We were both due to go out on a night out and drink.
Right.
It was for a party.
Right.
So it was immediately obvious that night that that my wife is pregnant.
I know your wife as well. She's a hell of a drinker.
Yes. Yeah. So it stands out like a sore thumb. I mean, if it was me. Yeah. I could have got away with it, but it's just not the way it works. So so with our second it was quite nice because we could plan it a bit better how we told the both our parents. So we told my parents first, and we all went it was October time, so we'd all been pumpkin picking, then we're going to go meet at the pub and have a nice family meal. So what we decided to do, we wanted our eldest to know first before anyone else, because obviously at that time it was only me and my wife that knew. So literally, we went and did the pumpkin picking, and on the way to the pub, we sort of pulled over the side of the road. It was a quiet country road, and we told her then. And it's obviously at the time she's sort of almost four. she was happy, but didn't really. I don't think it really sunk in for very long, and it's such a long time to go. It's not like we're getting it now. It's like, no, you got to wait. We've got to wait another 8 months or however long it was. Mm. But she, I think I was asking my wife before we started today, well, I can't remember what she said. And she said, oh, mommy, so what happens? Does the nurse help pull it out? And how does it get in there? So straight away, the difficult questions, which we weren't expecting.
She's inquisitive, eh?
Yeah, so we had to think on our feet for that one, but it was really nice because then we went for the meal, and then it's really one of the nice things about having a child, or your first or your second, is that time we get to tell everyone. It's really good news, isn't it? And everyone's always so happy. So it was a really nice day because we told my parents. Then we came home, and then my wife's parents came over that evening, and we were watching a film, and we told them during that. And it's always a nice time, and you get the handshakes off the father-in-law and all that, and it's really nice. So initially, going back to your question, she it was kind of like didn't really register, but I think as eldest daughter sort of started to see mommy changing and changing shape and getting bigger, that's when it became a really nice journey for her, and we could sort of talk about like what's happening, how big the baby is now, and start little things like her talking to her mommy's tummy and things like that. So but I think it's just the sort of the time it takes. Children don't have any concept of that, do they?
So it's a bit like the adult version of ordering a sofa, and it takes bloody ages. So
exactly,
6 weeks. Exactly. It's in the shop. It's there. I'm sat. In fact, I'm sat on it. I love this one.
Yeah, well, I've got to have this one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want it straight away. But yeah, looking back, it was really nice because although with our second child, we've not perhaps done the things that we do with our first, such as like gender reveals and things like that. We've kind of like, because it's our second, it's like, let's just get on with it. But we've also done some nicer things that we think, oh, it would have been better to do that. And so we've done it this time around. So that's one of them. So that was a really nice sort of memory looking back on and how we did it. And it's just a nice day for everyone.
So it's good that you could kind of do it in a big meal like that. Because like the way our setup is, obviously Rachel's family are pretty close, but obviously my family are miles away. So everything, like I think we told Rachel's mum pretty quick. So we got actually got Eden to Tally. So we I can't remember how we actually told Eden. I think we just kind of laid it down with the photo, and just kind of showed her that that's going on. And she was always, I think she pretty understood what was going on. I can't remember. I think we rang my parents and did a Zoom call and that, just to kind of, but we did it quite early. I think we you normally wait to about 12 weeks, don't you, before you.
Yeah.
But we did it pretty quickly, I think. So.
So we went early as well. And I think that, it was my wife raised the point about going early, is that it's a bit of a tradition to wait that long.
Yeah.
But at the same time, during that first 12 weeks, she's going through such a lot of changes, and not tell anyone. You're not got any of that support that you need. So by telling people early, you get the support you need. And I think it's like a bit of an old fashioned thing, that waiting. I understand why.
Yeah.
But ultimately, whatever happens, you're going to get that support from your friends and your family, because they know, rather than it being a big secret all the time. So.
And also, like, we're both, without saying too much, I know what you and your partner do and what my wife does, they're both stressful jobs. So having that kind of stressful environment it's not a great environment to have around if you're obviously producing a little human. So if you can let those know pretty quickly, then we found that, Rachel's employer has been really supportive. So I'm sure your wife has been the same. Like,
that's it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So when you were, obviously getting close to it. So as I said, my wife's was about 5 weeks left, and obviously she's growing. You can see the baby moving more now. Did you have, like, when your daughter was speaking to you, did you see there was much of a reaction from the bump at all? Or, is it almost as if, like, baby, number two was recognising her older sister's voice? Do you think there was any of that going on?
I think so, yeah. I think it was really nice to see that happening, because... eldest would talk to Bump and see movements and seeing her reaction as well, and it's how happy she was, and the realities there that there's a little baby inside mummy's tummy, and it was really nice. But I think with our second, there wasn't as much movements as there were with our first. I remember with our first, we used to see so much all the time, but then also I think with your second is. Your life is a lot busier when you've got one child anyway, so you don't always have that time to notice as much, because there's lots of things going on and you're looking after your first child and all those sort of things. But yeah, we've got some really nice sort of photos of one in particular of eldest with mommy with a bump, and she's a couple of weeks away, and she's kind of touching the tummy, and it's like those are the sort of photos that you've got forever, and you're never gonna. As we discussed last week, we're not having any more children. That it's really nice memories.
Yeah.
As it got closer, it became more. I think it seemed to sink in a little bit more. The eldest, that she's having a sister, and all the playing she was doing with her dolls. It was all about my sister.
Right.
Pretending to change nappies and things like that. So it was really sweet.
She can book in then.
Yeah, she still can't do it, which is a shame. We're still teaching her how to.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day she can do some of the changing and nappies, especially this week. It's
while she's off. Yeah. Well, we're very much the same. I think with this one, I think there's more noticeable movement. I think she's in a slightly different position, I think, to what our oldest was. So there's definitely that movement, and we're finding it exactly the same as you've just said. Like when we do, like, have the time where we're speaking to the bump, the bloody thing stops moving and I stop talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I had daddy's ear, nothing. And then my daughter starts speaking to her. She's like doing backflips and all sorts. So she's dead.
Yeah.
She's obviously like hearing something, recognizes something, which is fine, which is just another child that's not going to listen to me. She said today, like, I don't want you, I want mummy. And what made that extra special is I was FaceTiming my mother at the time.
It was like, that's great.
Yeah, I feel ever so good about myself, my own daughter.
Yeah.
But is that a thing that you notice with yours? So, like, my wife messaged me yesterday, not sort of concerned, but she was sort of saying, do we think, our daughter's getting quite clingy now because... of the baby, on its way sort of thing. Do you think that is there any truth in that? I suppose it might be. Did you find any of that?
I think so. And what it's difficult as well to when obviously your partner's getting bigger towards the end, is that it's more difficult for them to pick up child as well.
Oh yeah.
So that's a really difficult thing. So I remember our eldest was like, "Mommy, wants to pick me up," and she's like, "I literally can't pick you up because I'm too big to pick
too
you
big,
up."
Yeah.
And you're now quite heavy because you're like nearly four.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a thing, and I think it's really important to manage that from the end of the pregnancy into child being born as well. I distinctly remember when we brought our youngest home for the first time, we were all sat around having dinner, and our routine before child was born is that eldest liked to sit on her table and have her dinner, and we'd sometimes sit on the other table. They're close to each other, and there was no issues there. And then we did that on the first day with, now we had youngest in Moses' basket, and suddenly it was like, there's three of us here and you're over there having your dinner on your own, and it we'll never forget it. And we can look back and laugh now, but it was like she got really upset, and she was like, "Oh, mommy, you know, what are you doing over there?"
Yeah.
And it was like, we felt really bad because to her, she obviously thought, "Oh, it's you three over there and us here now."
Yeah.
It wasn't that at all. We just slipped into this routine that we always had.
Yeah.
Yet there's a little baby there. So I don't think we'll ever forget that.
Well,
that was a very quick lesson that we learned. Not, you know, okay, we definitely need to all be sitting together.
Yeah.
Even though it's just a baby in a Moses basket.
I think we're going to have to, because we haven't got a massive like kitchen area to sit all together. So we do try and sit together, but nine times out of 10, because our daughter will have something to eat at nursery. So during the week, it's never an issue. Otherwise, we're just like, you know, like, like you have your tray in front of the telly, so we do a bit of that, yeah. Especially today when we have a roast, and like to be fair, like Eid's had it, you know, she had her own little, she's got these, like, we've got some new trays now. So before, she had like this little sort of circular one with all the compartments, but now it's quite a bigger square one, so she's a bit more grown up. So she was sat there watching Paw Patrol or something. Like, really, it's really lazy parenting, I know, but it's one of my favorite things is watching her eat, because I know that she's eating, like, and it's just like so, yeah, cool, especially now she's eating, yeah, adult food. So yeah, we haven't really got too much of a routine when it comes to kind of eating out like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely something we're gonna have to, you know, certain routines, like getting up in the morning, or, you know, when we go to drop her off at nursery, then she knows that mummy's staying at home, like that. Maybe that's something that we could look into. So obviously the next important thing, now you don't obviously go into detail, but it's the naming of the child. Was your eldest involved with the selection of the name? Did you have names already, or how did you try and get daughter number one involved?
I think we sort of made it out like she was involved, but we knew what the name we wanted. So we'd heard the name of our youngest because one of our eldest friends had the name at nursery, and we were both like we really like that name, and we decided quite early on that's going to be a name.
We'd struggle with that because all of our daughter's mates are all boys.
Right, you know. Yeah, it's
this is
world.
Our firstborn, our secondborn, Edward. You sure it's Edward? Yeah. Sorry,
get away with that now.
Yeah.
So we knew what we wanted it to be, but what we got involved in was the agreement that they could both have the same middle name, which,
yeah,
they've both got the same middle,
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she likes the fact, and now, like, even now when I talk about the name, she's like, "Yeah, we've got the same middle name," and she really likes that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Even now, when our eldest now, because she can write a name. And I think a couple of days ago, she wrote a name and I said, "Do you know who chose your name for you? It was Mommy and Daddy." And she really liked that.
Yeah.
And I said, "Who?" And then she goes, "Yes." And I chose, and then she said, obviously chose her sister's name.
Yeah.
Middle name. So, yeah. So it was really sweet.
That's
and,
cool.
So, yeah, the answer is, yeah, she was involved in it, and lots of things like that, really. So, yeah, she really enjoyed being part of it. And I think that's the key, just to get them involved in those sort of things. Because they're obviously not going to be left out, but it's the perception and their feeling that they might be being left out.
Yeah.
So I think getting them involved in little things like that is really helpful. And even we might be skipping ahead a bit here, but even like when you first come home, going to get nappies, go, can you go and get me a wipe? Yeah. Can you go and get me, you know, they love that because it's like a little game and a little challenge for them. And
yeah,
getting involved in, oh, look at this, you know, baby's done a dirty nappy and things like that, and having a laugh about it and together.
It seems a bit obviously she's not like training to look after, but do you think that playing with those dolls and doing that nappy changing stuff, and then she'd been able to see, do you think that kind of playing around with the dolls before, and that's kind of helped integrate that kind of, because as we've talked before, like our daughter doesn't really play with, she's got a couple of dolls that she'll go to sleep with, like stuffed ones, but she won't play dolls. She's got like a little baby thing that farts. And you'd have thought she'd play around, but she doesn't go anywhere near it. So she doesn't really play with those. But did you think like that playing with those toys and treat it as like a baby made that transition for when her sister came along was a little bit easier, do you think?
I think so, yeah. Because I remember when before baby number two came along and she'd be playing, I'd be saying, right, well, this is how we will change the sister's nappy when we do it, and this is how we'll do this. And talked about little things like, oh, look, when you're holding the baby, you always hold them by the support of the head and all that. So not that we let her hold her in the first, you know, few weeks or anything like that. Or if we did, I'd like a pillow underneath her and things. But it definitely helped. And we talked about being gentle with the head, and we could do that with the dolls. And I remember when we brought youngest back, trying to get to sleep and walking around the house and having eldest behind me with her doll saying, Daddy, I'm getting mine to sleep as well. Yeah. So like she can join in with it as well, because she's got her dolly. Because obviously some children aren't into playing with babies and dolls, and we're just fortunate that ours is and was. So, yeah, definitely helped. And even now, today, we've been playing with... She's been playing with her dolls, and I've been getting involved in that. And she, it's like that role play, which reflects either what's been happening in the day or what she's seen. And certainly the eldest, they pick up on so much. And even today, she's repeating things that she's heard us talk about. Like our youngest hasn't been sleeping that well, and we've been putting her down and waking up, and she's replicating that in her play with her doll. And it's so sweet and like funny to watch as well. It's like you're obviously picking up on everything. And that's another thing you realise, that obviously our eldest is a bit older than yours, but they're picking up on everything that's going on.
I suppose it's that Dean will probably know better because of the job that he does. It's that learn through play, I suppose. I suppose if they're doing it at home, then obviously they'll pick up on that in school as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but it's like there's two parts to it. So what was it like, obviously, the actual birthing routine that you had with your second, and then how did you do that first meet? Then, you know, what was it like when you kind of first introduced your eldest to the newborn? So what did you do with your eldest whilst you were in hospital? Was she with grandparents and that?
Yeah, so she was with my wife's parents. So we were the sort of the birth of both children followed a similar pattern in the fact that we were booked in both times for an induction, for my partner to be induced. Not an induction, like a gym induction. You know.
I've used this machine before.
Nip into the gym.
Yeah. Oh, they used it. They named it after me.
So the day before. She went to grandparents, really excited, and it was kind of like coming home that night. It was like, right, this is the last night's sleep we're going to get ever.
Yeah,
for another 16 years. So,
yeah. Oh God.
So, make the most of it. So, went in the following day, and then second took a little bit longer to arrive than first. So, I managed to get. I couldn't stay in the hospital the first night, so I managed to get a bonus night coming home and going to sleep. So that's great.
I was going to ask you about that. So what? How come you couldn't stay then? Was it? Well, it wasn't COVID, was it? Or was it?
No, it's not COVID. It's because they're on like on a ward where they're sort of they're just waiting. And the rules are you can't stay unless your wife's in labour or your partner's in labour.
Yeah,
you can't stay. But then the next day. I remember going in, taking my wife and McDonald's breakfast, and then it kind of all happened very quickly from then on.
Well, it is fast food, isn't it?
Rooms. This is fast food, yeah. The McDonald's obviously helped. Yeah. Her along.
Who's the child? The child, have you ordered the child, sir? Excuse me, love, you've got me barbecue sauce.
Yeah. You've forgotten the hash brown with this one.
Yeah.
And then, so eldest carried on routine, so she was taken to nursery.
Right.
And then when second was born, the first thing we did, once we were able to, was we did a FaceTime. To our eldest. It was really sweet, and we got really good memories of that because she got to see a sister on the FaceTime for the first time. So she was the first person to see her.
Yeah. Was she at nursery then? Was she all around your grandparents?
She'd got home at that point with grandparents. So she's not allowed to take her phone to nursery. So yeah, she'd got home.
She got a phone.
No.
Got an Instagram account. You got loads of followers.
So that was sweet, and you could see she was a little bit emotional. It was quite sweet, really. But yeah. Then the following day, I went to pick her up from nursery, and then we took eldest to the hospital. So she got to meet her first. Yeah. So she was the first person to meet her in the hospital.
Yeah,
and we got loads of photos of that moment. It was really sweet. Mm. And then we all left the hospital together as a four. And then travelled home together as a four, and then started from there, really. So again, memories wise, looking back at that, it was a really nice time, you know, to see that and to introduce eldest to youngest, and the bond's been there pretty much straight away between the two of them, which is really nice. Yeah, there's no you hear of some. I mean, it might come along, it probably will, that some sort of sibling rivalry, but. At the moment, no, they both, like I said last week, they both really love each other.
So oh, nice, yeah.
And they make each other laugh and giggle.
Looking at her in the car and that. So how long was your wife in the hospital for? And did you, this is the bit that I'm like, because obviously I wasn't allowed to stay in the hospital at all, and I could only pop in every now and again. But what, like Dean was saying, like when he stayed overnight and he had to get like a sleeping bag, and he sort of slept on the floor. He had to put like a load of cones around him so they didn't trip up over him. So did your wife stay in overnight a couple of nights, and were you able to stay, or did you come home?
Yeah, so she stayed two nights. So I couldn't stay the first night, but then youngest was born the second day. Then I could stay that night, and then we left that day.
Right, got you.
So she was there 3 days, two nights.
So did you manage to get sleep? Did you have like one of those really uncomfortable chairs, or?
Yeah, the chair from the chair had improved in the 4.5 years from the first time. It was definitely a more comfortable chair. I was absolutely gutted because only halfway through the night did I realise you could push the arms back and it could recline. So I would have had a much better sleep.
Yeah. Which goes from like straight up to like 45 degrees. Oh, yeah, God, so much better.
Yeah, which the nurse kindly reminded me of about 4 a.m. So I stayed the second night, but I obviously jokingly will say that the chairs are really uncomfortable. It's not fair on the dads how uncomfortable the chairs are. We should get a bed as well.
We should have like, yeah.
Tongue in cheek.
Did she have her own room, like, or was it like just like a curtained off ward?
Yeah, you go in. So, the mistake I made for our first is we went to the birthing room, and I thought, oh, this is all right. This is quite posh, you know.
Yeah.
This will do us for the night. And then obviously you have the baby, and then they whisk you out of there.
Yeah.
So you're back onto the ward, and you got your curtained off, and you can hear other babies crying and in the feeds and stuff. So.
I might go in my van so I can sleep in the back of the van.
yeah. Take your earplugs. So I think it's difficult because some people have to stay there for a number of nights, and we were fortunate both times that we only did one night with that, so it wasn't too bad. And there's a Costa in the hospital, so first thing we did, we woke up, went and got some coffee and
I just go through a load. I've got a Costa voucher somewhere. I think I'll still keep hold of that. I can use it in my hospital.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What was it like for park? Did you have to pay for parking? I suppose it was like, that's the thing I'm worried about. It's going to be like 50 quid parking.
If you can find somewhere near to the hospital. So the first day I did pay, and then the second time I walked from, I found like a side road to parking.
Yeah.
and then walked up and then went and collected. So you pay less, end up paying less, because otherwise you will pay a lot of money.
I reckon it is possible that it is in walking distance actually from from his house, but obviously if we're picking her up, unless I walk back in, there's a lot of walking. I tell you what, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not going to get any sleep. I'm going to do so much walking.
It'd be great for your health, though, won't
it? Yeah, well, we'll come to that in a minute, won't we?
Yeah, it's a bloody great time to eat.
It's a great big friggin' hill here as well. I don't know how, but you have to go uphill to go into town, and you have to go uphill to come back as well. It's bloody mad. You have to set up camp halfway.
It's great training. It's really good training.
We've got nothing to train for.
You've got to think of the positives.
I'm trying my best. So you sort of touched on it again a little bit when you kind of had your first moments, and when you brought your newborn back and you were introducing them into the routine. So what were those first couple of days like as a foursome, as opposed to a because I suppose your wife was obviously still in recovery. Maybe I'm not belittling, because you know I think Dean's wife and my wife both had C-sections, so there was a huge amount of recovery for them. So, you know, but that's not taking away anything from your wife as well. You know, she did, you know, the old British way. So what was that like? So having, you know, the first couple of days of the four of you?
Yeah, certainly very different second time around. And like I touched on last time, that you've already got a routine because you've already got one child, and it's slotting back into that. So the eldest had finished nursery. We gave her because obviously us being off, we didn't put her in nursery for the 2 weeks, and then she was starting school. So we just did things together as a four. And whereas with the first, we probably spent more time indoors. Certainly with our second, we went out a bit more and did things like took the eldest to a soft play, but things where we can go, eldest can go and have a play. And so she's happy because she's doing things that she enjoys with us.
Yeah.
And then we can sit and have like a coffee and sit down and just be out of the house. I think it's important where you can. And obviously my wife was okay and was well enough to go out, just to get stick to your routine, but also break the sort of routine of being in the house all the time.
Yeah, I suppose if especially for your wife as well, if it's almost like being, if you don't go out, it's almost like being in a bit of a prison where you're not really able to go out and see the world. It's all going on out, you know, outside your four walls. So just try to cling on to that little bit of normality, I suppose, is try to go out and do a little bit, like go for coffees and stuff.
And we seem to have with our first being born around Christmas, I remember we had a lot more visitors for the first because it was Christmas and everyone's off. Everyone's wants to come and see you, and it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, for our first, being quite overwhelmed with the amount of visitors coming into your house.
Yeah.
Like almost like a revolving door. And when you're tired, because it's such a big leap from having no children to having a child.
Yeah.
Can become overwhelming. I seem to remember with our second, we had visitors, but they were like more spread out, I think.
Yeah,
which was quite nice, or we were able to go to other people's houses, and it was summertime as well, so there's we can go outside a bit more, and
the
days were long, you know, it was daylight for longer and things like that. So the time of the year of having the child, which is similar for you, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a similar setup, because our eldest was December, and obviously the new one's going to be May. Hopefully the weather's picks up a little bit, because born now, bloody hell, be blown away. Trying to take it for walks.
I know, yeah.
It's what, windy. I always like our eldest goes, it's windy, and I'm like, it's not windy, it's Sunday. She'll get it eventually when she's about
does
five.
She, yeah, I was gonna say, does she laugh at your jokes, or does she just ignore you like Dean does?
Oh, I'm used to it. It's not just Dean, everybody just ignores us now. What makes me laugh, that's all that matters.
That's it, yeah.
So speaking of Dean, then I think what we'll do is we've managed to get Dean to send us a little bit of a voice note, because obviously he's almost been like the guinea pig, really, where he's taken, him and his wife have taken their 10 month old,
I think,
on holiday for the first time. So here is a little voice note from Dean, just going through what it's like taking a 10 or 11 month old on holiday for the first time. Mm-hmm.
Hi, it's Dean from the In the Dolls House pod. I can't be there to record with the boys today because we're on holiday. So we came to Lanzarote last week and we're heading home tomorrow. It's been a pretty awesome experience, even with a little 11-month-old wriggly person that's beginning to crawl. So it's been good fun. On the way here, we managed to get to go into the cockpit to meet the pilot. We took the first flight card, you know, the little packs of cards you can get. We got one that says "My First Flight," and the pilot was really helpful, and he signed it for us, and we got her a little teddy bear pilot as well, which is quite cool. She was really good on the flight, which was useful. She wasn't scared at the takeoff or the landing. There was the bit where your ears popped that she wasn't keen on, but generally got on with it. And we've had a nice couple that were sat next to us on the plane that made the whole experience much easier. You can probably hear her in the background having a play. But yeah, it's been a good experience. The only thing that's been really challenging is she's going through this stage at the moment where when she's hungry, she's instantly hungry and really, really hungry. So she's screaming the place down. But as long as we carried plenty of stuff with us, we were okay. And then the only other challenge was putting sun cream on a wriggly 11-month-old, which was great fun. It was like trying to hold a bar of soap in the shower. It was not easy. But we got through it. And she's been sun creamed up every day. And we've used some of the spray stuff on her head as well, just to make sure that she was well covered. But yeah, it's been a really good experience. And yeah, hope it all goes well tonight, boys. And I'll hopefully be in on the next one. I'll catch you later. Bye bye.
So another thing that I think we'd like to talk about, because I know you're big into your fitness, is trying to maintain some sense of like taking care of yourself and not falling into that sort of, not necessarily just the dad bod trap, but like just staying at home, like not, you know, checking your food or you're not eating properly and things like that. So you're a keen cyclist, is that right?
Yeah, so yeah, a bit of everything. So through the years, running, people who know me, you know, running's been my thing, but a bit like yourself, Chris, I've got a bit of a glass back. So as you get older, running becomes a little bit more difficult. So it's really a bit of everything now. But yes, cycling and running is what I've all, and I've been doing, you know, doing that for years. So like you say, when you've got no children, you've got a lot more time for exercise, and you can spend you can do it whenever you want, really. But certainly adapting to change it, if you're into your fitness, because if you're not into it, it's not it's one of those things. But when when you're someone who likes to train and have that, you know, feeling of have done some exercise, getting it, fitting it in, becomes still just as important. So really, it's just for me, it was just about acknowledging, I think, straight away that it's not the same. You're not going to have the same amount of time, and just planning it in really where you can. And my wife's really supportive of it. You know, it's not hours upon end. It's half an hour to an hour in a day, a couple of times, three times a week.
Yeah. So is that it was something that you were doing beforehand? Anyway, did you find a, because there's two angles from it. Obviously, I'm still at that point where I'm not quite 40 yet, so I'm still trying to think aesthetically. I want to look a little bit better than I do at the moment, and I do look horrible. Like I got a leaving card off some of my students, and they took a picture of us, and it's just I can't remember wearing that bloody rubber ring around my jumper. But it's just like you're itching, and you just think. So part of it is like I want some of me t-shirts to fit me better. But do you also have the second sort of thing where it's you've got to look after yourself because you've got to be around for longer, essentially. You know, it sounds a bit morbid than that, but you want to be around like sort of 50, 60, 70 years of age. You've got to try and look at you looking after yourselves now, so you've got that longevity and things like that. And you've got to worry about your own health, you know, because you're kind of looking after yourself now. Is there any part of that there, or is it just purely I want to look good in Lycra, which you do? I've seen you.
Thank you. Yeah, you can stop. You know, asking for pictures now. It's, you know, it's getting too much.
I don't ask. I just think, yeah, just wait in the bushes. Look at that, rapid. Hey, tell you what, though, 5 minute kilometre, that's rapid.
But yeah, you're quite right. That does play a part when you have children. You're not just sort of maintaining your health for yourself. You do think about your children being there for your kids. And just like I say, not everyone is into keeping themselves fit, exercise. You know, some people hate it, and that's absolutely understandable and fine. But if you're the sort of person who's into that lifestyle and used to it, it becomes important to maintain that. But when you have children, things like just the physical activities you have to do with them, playing, running around, picking them up, picking up car seats, putting them into the cars, you know, just being physically fit for that, really. I mean, it keeps you fit doing it on its own. But for me, that's part of it as well. I want to be someone who can, you know, do that. And when you're on holiday, you can run on the beach and those sort of things. And also, it's a lot about your physical and your mental fitness as well. For me, that keeping fit.
That's, I mentioned this to my wife the other day. I wish she, because we'll go into it a bit more in a minute, but I said to her, I wish you got those endorphins, that endorphin kicking. If you got that, a little bit of that before you did the activity, that activity would be a lot easier. Because obviously when you finish, like, you might be aching, but you do feel a hell of a lot better for it, even if you've just been for like a quick sort of 10-20 minute jog around the corner or whatever, or you've been for a 5-10-15k run sort of thing. That burst of energy that you get at the end, you do feel a hell of a lot better. And I do kind of miss that. But that's a, you know, real good buzz for you to do it. But so when we lived in the UAE, I was working out sort of four times a week doing these circuits, and like, it's sort of best shape I've ever been in. And then obviously lockdown happened, and then it's all excuses. It's most of my own laziness, because you can always find 15-20 minutes to do something. But I can't be asked to look for it. I've always been really bad at warming up and warming down. And that's where I think my bad backs come into it. But that next morning, I'm just like in the absolute bits. So as I said, a few times, play football a couple of times a week. So for playing Monday night, we normally go over the hour. We normally do a good 90 minutes. And the next day is I'm like bloody Tin Man. Like, I can't move and everything. So part of the reason why I don't want to do, like, I'm putting it off, is that the DOMS the next day sort of thing, where I can't carry my daughter up the stairs because of my legs are killing and stuff like that. But
yeah,
that's something I need to get over. So what I have started to do, and I think you're on it as well, because you just started following us. I've middle class white man, I've downloaded Strava to allow all of the world to know how slow and unfit I am.
It's all about the Strava. It's got to go on there.
My first goal was I wanted to try and do 5 kilometres. It might not necessarily be 5 kilometres in one go. I don't mean like 5 kilometres over the space of a fortnight. Like, I'll run to the front door and back 20 times in a month. It's more like, it sounds like I've got a massive house. But now I wanted to try and do that one session, get to 5K. So what I did was I took my headphones with us and I did a little bit of a voice recording of my first experience on trying to do 5K. Now, a little bit of a story. Before I did this, I did the similar kind of circuit. I could only do it the once because I was in agony. You know, like, I don't know if... So my back had gone. I think... I don't know if you get this or not, but you know within the first 10, 15, 20 yards that this is going to be a battle and it's going to wreck. And it's that case of mind over matter. But when it's literally agony. It's like having a plank of wood across the base of my spine, and I can't do it. So here's a little voice recording. So let's see if I was able to do the 5 kilometers. And
can't wait.
Yeah, I'll put that in now. So what I'm trying to do is try to start running. I want to try and take up running. Basically, since lockdown, really, I've been really lazy. I've put on loads of weight. Although, like, I play football a couple of times a week every now and again. It's a bit kind of sporadic at the moment with
having a kid. But yeah, so historically, I've liked to keep fit when I lived in the UAE. I used to go gyms and fitness classes, but I've had a bad back for about 15, maybe longer years. Turns out I've got a perforated disc, L5-S1, and it's pinching on my nerve. So I get real bad back pain when I go for a run. So yeah, I can't go more than maybe sort of 50 yards before it really sort of hurts, and it's like debilitating pain, so really, really painful. The plan or the target is I'd like to have a go at doing the local park run, which is 5 kilometres. I think fitness wise, I wouldn't be far off. I think I should be able to do it. It's just trying to get through that pain and trying to get used to it again. So hopefully we can do a couple of sessions, and then eventually, hopefully maybe in a month or so, I could join the park run. Okay. So I'm about to go on my first run. I'll see how it goes. So, jog done. I managed to get the second to a little bit further than the second time now, because it's not quite 2.5k. So, got the 5k done. Time's just over about 30 odd minutes, 32, 33 minutes from that. So, that's what I'm going for, really. I'm just trying to finish. So, yeah, made up with that. Still a bit, it hurts a bit. But I think that's mostly because of football from last night. So yeah, all in all, pleased with that. Happy to try again a few times this week. But yeah, here we go.
So yeah, really made up with the fact that I managed to get the 5 kilometres. It wasn't, I don't think it was a particularly slow time, apparently. I told some of the students that like, it's like 7 minutes, 7.5 minute kilometre. And they were like, yeah, so I had that. So yeah, I'm really, really chuffed. I haven't been since. Oh no, I have been. I've done just over 4k, so I did just the two laps. So it's something I need to get back on. But yeah, thanks for you've sent me some kudos for doing those.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if we can maybe get Dean involved as well, because he mentioned like off pod, I think they call it, that he's looking to do something similar as well. So maybe between the three of us. Well, you're all right. You've already started. You're already. Kind of how on a normal run, how far would you go?
Well, I do
not how far would you go, because you have to come back, but yeah, what circuit would you do?
When I run, I do about 5k, 3 or 4 miles. My Strava's in miles. I've always measured my runs in miles.
I do it in kilometers kilometers, because the number's bigger,
because there's more. Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna swap to centimeters.
I tend to I've got like a static bike, like a turbo trainer in my garage, and some weights. But just going back to your point about not being able to walk the next day, I think it's just important to remember that you don't have to just absolutely beast yourself on your workouts to get the benefit. You know, it's just about keeping yourself active and perhaps you might be going too hard at it.
That's actually how my first form was. Sorry.
just a quick note on the exercise. It doesn't have to be, like I say, a structured workout. Today, the four of us we put some music on in the kitchen. We were messing around and dancing, and that, you've got to think about that as well. That's a form of exercise, and it makes our eldest laugh when I pick her up and I'm doing squats with her, and she's laughing her head off, and I'm getting a little workout in as well at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I tried to do, what was it? I was doing a bit of yoga. So I started actually up in area. So I've downloaded this app. It's Fit, FIIT. And it's the actual app itself is free, and it's got some free workouts, and you can do your own body weight. You can, because I've been able to use the gym at school, I've been able to use dumbbells or kettlebell workout, so you could just use your own body weight. So there's a load of that. So I tried doing one up in Eden's room. So she had a telly up in her room. It's not a bad bit of space, that. It's got more space than our room. But like, obviously she'll come upstairs with us and be like, come and like joining next to us. So we like jogging on the spot. She'll jog on the spot with us and stuff like that. And but yeah, then also tried to do a 10-minute yoga workout. So that's something I've tried to do as well, because just to try and get sciaticus kicked in big time this week.
Yeah.
I'm such a old fart. But yeah, she'll come down and lie with us. Her child pose is amazing. It's just under.
If you get...
Tough crowd.
if you can get them involved, it's half a battle. We do sometimes put like Joe Wicks workouts on and things like that. So there's ways of still keeping fit with, even though you haven't got that time like you used to have. And like I say, if you get them involved and I read things, and like I say, Dean will probably tell you that your kids seeing you exercise is probably a good influence on them. So it's really important. It's important for me. So it's important that they are active as well, and they see that their parents are active.
It's
a good thing for the future, I think.
I know it's early days. I think she's going to be quite active because Rach played, I think she played sport to a decent level, and I've watched sport at a good level. so I think hopefully we can get her involved in that sort of thing. But so maybe that's something we can pop on the old socials, so our tens of followers can sort of track when maybe you go on a bit of a run and I go on a walk, and we'll go from there. So it's really important. We want to try and keep fit, and hopefully this pod will motivate us. So just share and like and follow and comment us, try and push us on if you can, because our socials is something that we need to grow really. So all in all then, it's just kind of, we've covered quite a lot today between the two of us. So obviously we've discussed primarily what it's like to go from the number one child to having two, how you kind of broke the news to your daughter to say that she's going to be a sibling, and what those first couple of days were like, and the routine you had, that obviously going into hospital for a couple of days, and your elder spending it with your grandparents. And then we touched on a little bit the fact that obviously Dean's not with us at the moment, so he's having a lovely time in Lanzarote, and he was able to kind of talk through what it was like briefly, about what it was like to take their daughter on board. We just finished off there with a little bit about like how we're going to try and keep fit. So hopefully that's something that we can continue. I'm sure Dean will be on board as well. So pod number two there under the belt there, Paolo, how do you think that's gone? All right, have you?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice chance to sort of reminisce on some of those times as well.
Yeah.
You can quickly move on from with the busyness of life. So no, it's been great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, and you've got your brand spanking new microphone as well. So So that's it now. There's an investment in it. You did say obviously you wanted to be done by 9 o'clock, so it's 9:02. So what we'll do, we'll wrap up there. So for everyone at home, thanks again for joining us in the Dolls House. If you can continue to like, share and follow all the socials that we'll do, we'll add more reels to it as we're off this week, and hopefully some more of the Strava maps and things like that, so you can check out whether or not we're actually following up with what we're saying and trying to stay in shape. So thanks very much, and we very much look forward to spending week 10 with you next week here in the Dolls House.